Can't you see it? A sparkling roadside EV quick charge power facility. It's chargers, control panels, and switchgear powering a renewable energy tomorrow that's squeaky clean. We know that unless you have the right supplier, that world might just be a fantasy. But here at Graybar, with years of renewables experience, we live in that world. Get in touch to see for yourself.
We're now ready to depart.
Book your visit at graybar.com. Yep, Graybar does that.
Yeah, sure thing.
Hey, you sold that car yet?
Yeah, sold it to Carvana.
Oh, I thought you were selling to that guy.
The guy who wanted to pay me in foreign currency, no interest over 36 months? Yeah, no. Carvana gave me an offer in minutes, picked it up, and paid me on the spot. It was so convenient.
Just like that?
Yeah.
No hassle?
None.
That is super convenient.
Sell your car to Carvana and swap hassle for convenience. Pickup fees may apply.
Hey, I'm Ben Stiller.
I'm Adam Scott.
And we make a TV show called Severance. Severance is back for season 2 on Apple TV+.
Before the premiere, Ben and I are going to be binging season 1 and putting out daily recaps. And after that, we're going to keep going as we recap every episode of season 2.
The Severance podcast with Ben Stiller and Adam Scott is presented by State Farm. Like a good neighbor, State Farm is there.
Listen and follow now on Apple Podcasts, the Odyssey app, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Good afternoon, everyone. Welcome to Sports Talk here on the Big 870. Mike Dettillo along with Charlie Long in studio at 5:45. Steve Geller will join us for our triple option feature. We'll tell everybody at a little after 4:20, Kelsey Nicole Nelson, the Washington, D.C. Sports Media Personality of the Year, also works for Fox Sports, will be on with us to talk about Jaden Daniels, that kid out in Washington, and certainly the Commanders' upset of the can they upset the Lions. That'll be a tall mountain to sort of climb, so to speak. So we'll see what Kelsey feels about that. Also, Kelsey also covers the Baltimore Ravens, so she'll give her opinion of what's happening there as they play a monumental game against the Buffalo Bills this coming weekend. At 4:40, Ali Cosell, who covers the NBA and the Pelicans. Ali will be on with us to talk after the Pels. A big win last night, Charlie, on the road against Chicago. But then the bad news as they play Dallas tonight, and you can hear that game live right here on the Big 870 WWL. Pregame will start at 6:30, but tip off at 7. And again, right here on the Big 870 WWL, no Zion tonight. After 24 minutes, he got to take another rest.
Mike, let's talk about the positive first.
They won.
They won. And the way they won, I mean, this was a tight game throughout, and then the fourth quarter, they just explode, Mike. I mean, you watched it last night. The Pels went on a 22-6 run. Jose Alvarado couldn't miss at one point. He just started launching threes. He makes 4 straight three-point shots. Trey Murphy, once again, fantastic, 32 points. And you heard kind of in my sports flash there, Mike, Jake Madison bringing up a great point yesterday when we had him on the show. Trey Murphy's surge in development in his fourth year in New Orleans is what has really made Brandon Ingram expendable for this team. They have all the faith in the world in Trey. That's why they paid him. He's under extension for the next 4 years with this team, and he's looked awesome this year. He's taken that step that you hope that he would take. And that's been, I mean, outside of a couple of bright spots like you've seen with, you know, the rookie center Eve Misi being great early on in his young career, Trey Murphy has been fantastic. He's missed some time due to injuries at points, but he has really taken the major step that you're hoping he would take. That's the positive. Now, to your point about the negatives, Zion Williamson not playing tonight. Mike, the Pelicans are playing their 22nd game in the Smoothie King Center this season. How many of those games has Zion Williamson played?
If you wouldn't have told me, I wouldn't have guessed it.
Yeah, I told you off air. Three. He's played in 3 of their 22 home games. And listen, when I was watching the game last night, Zion Williamson, 24 minutes played, right? And that was my assumption.
He made his influence felt.
He definitely made his influence felt. He was plus 7 in those 24 minutes, 21 points scored, 10 of 14 shooting, the 9 assists. He was dishing out dimes, especially in the fourth quarter as well, 7 rebounds. It was a good, strong performance from Zion Williamson. The 24 minutes made me assume that they were not playing him the regular starter load. For those that don't know, 24 minutes is like 2/3 of a regular starter's minutes. And I'm not even talking like Tom Thibodeau's starter minutes, right? I'm talking a regular NBA starter on any given night should be playing anywhere from, you know, 35-ish minutes. He played 24. And so my thought process was that Zion would be, you know, kind of resting up, getting ready for tonight's game against Dallas. He is sitting out. It is a back-to-back. He is not playing. I mean, if that's the case, and you're not playing him back-to-back, my question to you is, why don't you sit him out last night against Chicago and let him play in front of the home fans?
That would be my question.
It just doesn't make any sense to me, Mike.
I don't get it.
And so, once again, we're in January, and he's played in 3 home games. Like, he's averaging 1 home game a month at this rate. And that's not hyperbole. That's actually what we're seeing so far. So, and I know it's not all on Zion. I know it's also the front office, the coaching staff, the health department saying he shouldn't be playing back-to-backs. Okay. It's still frustrating, and it's frustrating for the fans that go to games.
My
feel the frustration.
If I'm paying my hard-earned money before the season, and a big part of that is I wanted to watch Zion, and now you play him on an away game, and you pull him from this game. Okay, somebody's got to have some form of common sense that if that was going to be the plan all along, you reverse it. You don't play him against the Bulls. You play him against the Mavs. Are they tone deaf about this completely?
It's common sense, Mike.
There's a lack of it somewhere.
It would make sense if you're not going to be playing them on those back-to-backs. Play them in the home game. Let the home fans see them. They've only seen them 3 times this year.
I don't get it, Charlie.
This is the 22nd home game they've played this season.
I don't get it.
I don't either. And so, you know, the good news for the Pelicans is that there's a lot of pieces missing tonight on both sides. And I mentioned in the Sports Flash as well, because Luka Doncic has been out since Christmas. He suffered a calf strain way back then. He's going to be out for at least the next couple of weeks. I think he's going to be reevaluated soon. Yeah. Kyrie Irving is doubtful. He made his return last night. So they're on a back-to-back just like the Pelicans are. He's doubtful for this game. Derek Lively suffered an ankle injury.
I don't think he'll play.
No, I don't think he will either. So I think the Mavericks are going to be without 3 of their starters in Derek Lively and Luka Doncic and Kyrie Irving. Now, the Pelicans are going to be without Brandon Ingram, Herb Jones, and Zion Williamson. So, it's look for Trey Murphy to have another big game tonight. I mean, Trey's coming off.
They need for him to have a big game.
Trey's coming off a bum ankle. He's coming off an ankle injury. He's put up 30 points in back-to-back games against the Celtics and the Bulls. And guess what, Mike? He played 39 minutes last night.
Yep.
And he's playing tonight.
Charlie, the whole cosmetic part of this, it don't look good. And again, whoever came up with this convoluted deal, it makes zero sense to cheat your fans that are paying their hard-earned money and they wanted to watch Zion and you play him on an away game instead. Makes zero.
It's tough, man.
Zero sense. Before we get into some football talk, and this is part of football, but, man, it seemed just like yesterday. Lowell Narcisse, I watched him at St. James High School. Was a terrific quarterback there, goes to LSU. He was at UT San Antonio for a while, enrolled at Nicholls State, but decided to give up football and to get into coaching. And last year, he was at Ascension Catholic. They were an 11-2 football team last year at Ascension Catholic. Well, today it became official. We had kind of heard rumors over the weekend, but Lowell Narcisse is going to be the new head football coach at Thibodaux High School.
Wow.
And, man, a blink of an eye.
Yeah, no kidding, huh?
I was watching Lowell at St. James High School. Now he's the new head football coach at Thibodaux High School. So congratulations to Lowell Narcisse. I know we're getting texts about anything new on the Saints head coaching front. No new news on that particular deal. Here's the crazy thing. Last night and early this morning, I did 2 shows out of New York. You know what the both hosts told me? Man, we think Aaron Glenn's going to take the job with the Saints. You talk to people down here, they think he's going to take the job with the Jets. So here's
it's his choice.
It's going to be Aaron Glenn's choice. I think he's going to have both jobs sort of laid out and what particular job he feels more comfortable with is where he's going to go. But Aaron Glenn's got options at this stage. And so, again, it's so funny because you would think it would be flip-flopped. You would think people here would think he's coming here. People in New York would think he's going to New York, but it's just the opposite. And, man, all they do is complain about what's happening front office-wise. No GM. Who's going to make the choice on the head coach? Everything else out in New York. So, man, they got a lot of Man, franchises that you just shake your head about at the end of the day. We'll be back with more sports talk here on the Big 870 and Kelsey Nicole Nelson right after this break here on the Big 870 WWL.
So it's a new year, 2025, and you're thinking, how am I going to make this year different? How am I going to build something for myself? But where do I start? Shopify is how you're going to make it happen, and here's how. Shopify makes it simple to create your brand, open for business, and get your first sale. The best time to start your new business is right now. Get your store up and running easily with thousands of customizable templates, no coding or design skills required. All you need to do is drag and drop. Their powerful social media tools let you connect all your channels and create shoppable posts and help you sell everywhere people scroll. What happens if you don't act now? Will you regret it? What if someone beats you to the idea? Don't kick yourself when you hear this again in a year because you didn't do anything now. With Shopify, your first sale is closer than you think. Sign up for your $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odysseypodcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odysseypodcast to start selling with Shopify today. shopify.com/odysseypodcast.
You just realized your business needed to hire someone yesterday. How can you find amazing candidates fast? Easy. Just use Indeed. Stop struggling to get your job posts seen on other job sites. Indeed's sponsored jobs help you stand out and hire fast. With sponsored jobs, your post jumps to the top of the page for your relevant candidates, so you can reach the people you want faster. And it makes a huge difference. According to Indeed data, sponsored jobs posted directly on Indeed have 45% more applications than non-sponsored jobs. Plus, with Indeed sponsored jobs, there are no monthly subscriptions, no long-term contracts, and you only pay for results. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/listen. Just go to Indeed.com/listen right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Indeed.com/listen. Terms and conditions apply. Hiring? Indeed is all you need.
The search for truth never ends. Introducing June's Journey, a hidden object mobile game with a captivating story. Connect with friends, explore the roaring 20s, and enjoy thrilling activities and challenges while supporting environmental causes. After 7 years, the adventure continues with our immersive travels feature. Explore distant cultures and engage in exciting experiences. There's always something new to discover. Are you ready? Download June's Journey now on Android or iOS.
Do you believe you were wrongfully terminated for speaking up against your employer? Wilshire Law Firm isn't afraid to go up against corporate giants and will protect you every step of the way. Get justice and feel safe. Call the experts at Wilshire Law Firm at 1-800-800-3333.
Hey, football fans, for those of you who can't get enough Baldy's Breakdowns, be sure to subscribe to Brian Baldinger's The Best Football Show. New episodes drop Monday through Friday where Baldy breaks down the best games of the week. Be sure to subscribe to The Best Football Show on the Odyssey app or wherever you find your podcasts.
Back here on Sports Talk on the Big 870, Mike Dettelia along with Charlie Long in studio and on our Oakwood Heart Jewelers Talk and Text line. You can follow her at Listen In with KNN, Kelsey Nicole Nelson. She's the Washington, D.C. Sports Media Person of the Year. And if you don't believe me, I got a guy from the Bayou who took a picture over there at the White House to prove it. So, Kelsey, thanks so much for joining me. I appreciate it. How about that? You go to the White House and you get your picture took by some coon ass from the Bayou. Ain't that something?
You know, I've lived a privileged life. I'm very blessed, Mike. Just very, very. And it shows you how life always goes 360. I absolutely love it. But thank you both for having me. Glad to be back.
Yeah, when he took the picture, he was like, Mike, I'm trying to picture where I've seen this gal before. And he said, you know, and then he said, all of a sudden it popped in my head. Oh, I know where. And so he had to call and tell me about it. So, again, congratulations. Kelsey.
Thank you so much.
I know we're going to get into Jaden and the kid and what's happened in Washington. A little bit about Baltimore right off the bat. A huge game, but you think about what Derrick Henry has meant to this football team, and he's not a young guy by any stretch. People say he's taken some hits, and the only thing I can tell him is he's also given a lot out. He has brought to the table a power running game, and he turns power into speed. And if you don't think he's fast, look how he's outrunning these 190-pound defensive backs out into the open field. He is a real freak of nature. As an athlete, now he trains his butt off each and every year to get ready for the grind of the NFL. But boy, has he been a huge addition to the Baltimore Ravens, and it didn't cost them a ton of money.
You know, Derrick Henry, and you know, you think about why everyone was so excited when he said he's coming to Baltimore, because everyone already knew what a dual threat Lamar Jackson was. And like, I mean, Derrick Henry is 1 year younger than me, Mike. Like, but the way he runs, the power, hard hitting running that he does, the mean stiff arms, which if you're a defender, you do not want to be on the other end. Derrick Henry is a guy that does not miss the gym. He does not miss weight training, and he's very, very into his health, right, and keeping his body active. So that's what I think the age factor doesn't come in, because he's very disciplined and very regimented, right, and being the best. But he wanted to come play with Lamar Jackson, and you think how dangerous he is. And Baltimore, remember, Baltimore is a team that has been known for their run game. They love to ground and pound the football, and Derrick Henry fits right into that philosophy. And I think what, you know, why the Ravens are one of the most dangerous teams running the ball, you think what he can lead, and then Justice Hill, who I don't think gets enough credit, also being great. You think about Keaton Mitchell as well, who, you know, since his career has come into a little bit of an injury, but Derrick Henry really is that spearhead of it. And then with Lamar Jackson at his best, it's just so dangerous. And like you said, he's so hard to stop. He's so hard to bring down. And sometimes he does start slow in some of Baltimore's games, but when he gets going, he gets going, and he still has those breakaway big runs. You know, to quote Lamar Jackson, I do think he's Lightning McQueen from Cars. All the 90s kids, and everyone should remember that, that whole franchise. But he's just so hard to stop. And, you know, he is the guy that can get into the end zone. So all in all, to say, he is the perfect recipe. And a shout out to Eric DaCosta and this Ravens franchise, because they knew they needed something. And I think Derrick Henry really has been that spark in Baltimore that really wants to finish unfinished business from last year. That taste of Kansas City is still in their mouth. So they feel like this might be the year with the addition of Derrick Henry.
Okay, to beat a man, you got to beat the man, but you got a game before you face the man, so to speak. And the buildup for this Ravens-Buffalo Bills game is enormous. You're not talking about a championship game now. The winner goes to the championship game. But, man, you talk about a rough road to get to the point where if Kansas City beats Houston, I think most people feel that'll be the case. Got to play it first, but boy, that is going to be a hellacious football game between two teams, two great quarterbacks. I think one thing Joe Brady has done with Buffalo, he's brought him a running game. It just is not all Josh Allen. But I think all eyes this weekend is going to be on Baltimore-Buffalo and for that opportunity to play the man the next week.
My gosh, how lucky are we as football fans that we get this matchup? And like you said, it's just like the two best teams. We have the two picks that everyone's talking about for MVP. And I think for Baltimore, like you said, I mean, I think if they're able to do what they did previously against Buffalo, and I don't think it'll be that same type of game. Both these teams are in different positions now. But I think especially for Baltimore, you know, you think back to the first time they played Buffalo, you know, Derrick Henry just obviously getting used to this Todd Monken offense, right? And what Baltimore truly is trying to become an offense, that offensive identity. But I think the biggest thing that we're talking about in Baltimore is what they've been able to do on defense. They're talking about cornerback Nate Wiggins, our Darius Washington, a guy that doesn't get talked to enough. You know, all pro Marlon Humphrey, who's beloved, you know, on that defense. Roquan Smith and all these guys, but the changes that they were able to make. Kyle Hamilton, who I think other than that, you know, who Kyle Hamilton was in so strong, so young, Kyle Van Noy, like all these defensive guys who finally it seems like it's coming together. And I think especially since that bye week, Baltimore really finding that footing. But, you know, when you think about Baltimore's rushing attack, and I know the Bills can run the ball as well. And then what Lamar Jackson is able to do. I mean, Lamar Jackson made history, folks, this year. You think about it in terms of passing and running and the touchdowns. Like, he just seems to get better and better at the right time. So on both sides of the ball, them being so strong, and I think something that a lot of people have to think about, too, is that you think about back when they played the first time Baltimore's offensive line, right, and some of those young guys really just starting to mesh together. And so I think the fact that they've got to grow throughout this season, and I know there's a lot of talk about Zay Flowers, who probably won't be in the game since he was not at practice today, so very low optimism, but Rashad Bateman, who has really stepped up as of late. And then you think about the weapons, especially at tight end, you know, Isaiah Likely and Mark Andrews, who has, I think, really shown the world, like, don't forget about me, and I'm still one of the top tight ends. Baltimore is dangerous, Mike, and there's a lot of excitement for this team. And so I think it's going to be a good game. Like, I think this is probably going to be the game that you're not going to want to miss. You're going to find a way to watch this game. But, you know, on the other side of the ball, like I said, Buffalo can run the ball. I mean, Josh Allen, dangerous on his legs as well. So it's really going to be up to Baltimore to see if they can still show this, you know, this defensive identity that they've been able to gain after ranking last, right, when the season started, Baltimore really being a laughing stock on defense, and really showing, you know, how strong their secondary defense can be. If they can get, you know, win the battle up front in the trenches. So super excited for this one. And I'll tell you, Baltimore, the fans here are feeling on a high. They feel like this is the squad that can finally overcome that playoff hump and hopefully get down to you all in New Orleans.
Kelsey, I know you got some Southern roots with you, but you grew up in that Baltimore, Washington area. The thoughts on Jaden Daniels and what he's been able to do sort of off the field, because we see what he's doing on the field, that he has been kind of the jumper cables on the battery for this franchise. No, I grew up watching, you know, when the then Washington Redskins, they were in old RFK. And that place was rocking because Joe Gibbs and those football teams were so good. And if they caught you, man, it was really, really loud. Off the field and covering the Commanders, can't think in the last maybe 15, 20 years of one guy that's put more oomph on that football team than Jaden Daniels.
JD5 is the most popular guy in town, Mike. I mean, everybody loves Jaden Daniels and what he's been able to do. And he said it. I mean, just a calm, cool, collected guy. We talk about him like this. You know, and they literally just in D.C., his mom just got surprised with a custom jacket to wear to the game in Detroit. Like, everybody is buying in to Jaden Daniels and what he brings in so young. I think, you know, again, I think that's the biggest surprise of everything. Like, a rookie who somehow has made a city that has been through so much, you know, peril and turmoil with this franchise. You know, you think about it, again, I talked about that last time they went to the playoffs, I was working with the team and they lost to the Tampa Bay Buccaneers at that time. And Tom Brady leading that team and Taylor Heineke at quarterback. And Taylor Heineke was a guy that people didn't fully believe in at the quarterback position. And then last time they won, like you think about almost 20 years ago. So the fact that he's been able to really help revitalize this squad. You have guys like Terry McLaurin, you know, very veteran, trusted, accomplished, talented wide receiver. Talking about Jaden Daniels, you know, emphasis and importance. Zach Ertz, another veteran guy. So, I mean, he's made everybody just talk about football being good in Washington and actually being able to believe in what they can do. And, you know, Commanders knowing that even though they're an underdog, they feel confident going into these games, like because of Jaden Daniels and knowing, you know, when it's, you think about this team and what they can do on fourth down, right? One of the best teams going, you know, converting fourth down. You think about what Dan Quinn has been able to bring in terms of just this team having an identity again, and guys really believing in the locker room and having those issues and really guys being able to step up. I think it's been exciting. And I think the great thing about Jaden Daniels too is like, you never know who's going to be the next guy to step up. And, you know, though the running game struggled in that last game, you know, anything that happens, you know, Jaden Daniels has a remedy for. And I think that's what's been so special, Mike, about Jaden Daniels. And again, doing it, not trying to gloat in the glory, but he just wants to get back to work. After every game, he's ready for the next one. And so he's been really, really fun for this D.C. community to rally behind. And, you know, it just seems like everything good is happening right now. You talked about the stadium earlier, you know, Mayor Bowser and now President Joseph R. Biden signing into law that D.C. RFK Memorial Stadium Campus Revitalization Act, which gives the keys back to the city. And so now fans even maybe being like, maybe Jaden Daniels will one day play in D.C. I mean, there's just so much excitement around this team. I can't remember the last time like D.C. got to be happy, this happy for football.
And then, Kelsey, you know, I saw a post earlier from NFL Game Day calling Jaden Daniels the cardiac kid. And there's a couple stats I wanted to read off here. Because if you look back at Wild Card Weekend, it was all blowouts except for the one game that was competitive, Jaden Daniels and the Commanders versus Tampa Bay this past weekend. And Jaden, apparently in fourth quarter / overtime throughout the 2024 season, his team ranks first in points per game in those situations, 9 points per game. He has a 71.8 completion percentage, which ranks fourth, 13 passing touchdowns first, 116.2 passer rating second. So when games are competitive, it's tight, it's the fourth quarter, the rookie quarterback ranks top five in all of those statistics. And Dan Campbell was asked about him earlier. He said, quote, "He's dangerous. He's dangerous. He poses a major threat. He does not play the position like a rookie quarterback. He's composed. He understands how to progress. Mm-hmm. He sees the field well. He can buy time with his legs. He's a dangerous runner. He's smart. You can understand how he knows how to run that offense and what they're asking him to do." And then he goes on to talk about Terry McLaurin and, you know, the offensive line and everything like that. But what Washington fans have seen all season long and what NFL fans are just starting to see, Jaden Daniels, the poise of this young guy, when things get really tight and really tough late in games, he just finds a way to make the play to help his team win football games. It's been very exciting to see from such a young player.
Yeah, I mean, you think about the quarterback carousel that Washington had been on prior to Jaden Daniels. You know, fourth down used to be real scary here because you didn't know if you could trust that quarterback guy, but you talked about it, Washington really being the best team in the NFL when it came to success on those fourth down conversions, and that's props. You know, I think we see the same thing in Baltimore with Lamar Jackson and John Harbaugh in terms of just trusting the quarterback, and that's the same thing with Dan Quinn and Jaden Daniels. Again, everybody trusting him on the squad, all the veteran players around him. I think he's really made the difference, right? We talk a lot about quarterbacks in National Football League and what they mean, but Jaden Daniels has really been the glue that has held everything together here in Washington. And, you know, and it's like when the pocket collapses, what does he do? He can run and take off. He will make your defense pay. And I think what's so exciting is the ceiling. I mean, this is the first go around, and we know it's only going to go up from here. You know, people are already talking about, you know, could he be considered one of the greats of the game after just this rookie campaign? I think a lot of credit needs to be talked about that 17 play, 92 yard drive in that last game that took off 9 minutes, you know, off the clock for Washington, being able to control something like that. Like Jaden Daniels, again, the cardiac kids has been, you know, said all around DC. And I said this earlier, you know, with all the shows I'm going on, I said, because the Commanders are the team you do not want to take to the end. Because if you do, they, one, can control the clock. And then, two, they know how to win in pressure situations. And, you know, everyone kind of reverts back to that Hail Mary against Chicago. With sorry, Bears fans. I know it's been a completely different team since that time. But, you know, I think really that was when the Commanders got to show the world, like, never give up on them. And so I think this game against Detroit, though, on paper, yes, Detroit's talented. You know, I know St. Brown and Gibbs, and they have so many weapons. But, again, if it's a close game, the Commanders are a team who can be poised under pressure because they've done it time and time again and know how to win close matchups. And Jaden Daniels is the face of that, never being unfazed. So super excited for this matchup. Again, there's going to be a large traveling party to Detroit. We see fans, you know, buying back into what this team is selling. And all you see around D.C. right now is Jaden Daniels jerseys. I mean, everybody is believing in this young kid. I'm calling him a young kid. This young man who has put the nation's capital on his back.
That's that kid, Jaden.
That kid. And he, man, he likes that moniker too, because he doesn't say a lot. But, you know, when you kind of kid him about, man, yeah, the nickname, oh, man, I like it. I like that kid. And he is so humble for such a superstar young man.
Great kid.
In his mid-20s. He doesn't act that way, doesn't talk that way. You know, he's full of respect for everybody. If it's a fan, if it's media, whoever, does a fantastic job. And talk about fantastic jobs, you always do, Kelsey. Thanks so much for joining us, and we appreciate your time and insights every time we get a chance to bring you on here on the Big 870.
Thanks, Kelsey.
Of course. Well, thank you so much for having me. Looking forward to seeing you out in New Orleans.
Yeah, I'm looking forward to it. All righty, that's Kelsey Nicole Nelson. You can follow her on Listen In with KNN. She is the DC Sports Media Person of the Year and also works for Fox Sports. We'll be back with Ali Cosell, covers the New Orleans Pelicans, right after this break here on the Big 870 WWL. Back here on Sports Talk on the Big 870, Mike Dettelia along with Charlie Long in studio and on our Oakland Heart Jewelers Talk and Text line. He covers the NBA and the Pelicans, Ali Cosell. Ali, thanks so much for joining us. Explain to me in real English, why would the Pelicans play Zion last night on the road and not play him in front of the home folks? Here's my deal. You know, I'm talking now as a fan. If I paid my money, and part of that is I wanted to watch Zion. We see what type of difference he's made when he's on the court. Why are you playing him in Chicago and not playing him in New Orleans? This is almost sort of non-thinkable idea to do this.
Yeah, Mike, if I had a guess, and we're going to find out today here talking to Willie and the guys in a second, but if I had a guess, I would say it's because they honestly believe there was a chance he could play in both. If you watch the way they're monitoring his minutes in last night's game, you would have thought that they were going to probably try and play him tonight. But he played, I want to say, just about 10 to 12 minutes in that first half, in that first stint in the third quarter, another four and a half minutes. So he was at 16. And if the game had gone sideways, one way or the other, there's a chance Willie wasn't probably going to have to use him much, if at all. And therefore, his availability for tonight would have been probably stronger. So, that, like I said, that's just a guess. We'll find out. But, yeah, it's unfortunate. But usually you're right. if there is kind of that kind of reconditioning type of concerns, usually a team will play their player, of course, at home, especially the stars, instead of on the road. So I've got to believe that was it.
Yeah, it's got to be something that I ain't thinking of, because I'll be honest with you, that really doesn't pass the smell test. But last night, man, Jose, when you needed him, boy, he came through for you. 12 points, but it was hitting those threes one after the other, and it really got you back with a W. And I think you needed that coming off the bench. You needed some guy to spark your team. You needed something there. And Jose was able to give it to him last night against the Bulls.
Yeah, we've talked at length over the last couple months of how the team misses Zion, some of the big guns, like when Trey was out, Herb. But rarely do we ever talk about Jose missing, you know, 27 games. And he's honestly just as big of an impactful player on a lot of nights as a lot of these other guys. And so, yeah, you're right. You miss that guy off the bench that you know is just going to bring it, whether it's getting in, you know, an opponent's face to hound him while he's just trying to dribble the ball at the court, to honestly making three-point shots. And if I'm not mistaken, I think so far this season, Jose is the best shooter the Pelicans have from the outside. Yeah, look, Mike, he's proven that he's a shooter. You know, last year he had kind of a really great bounce-back year from his second season where he honestly didn't finish a campaign strongly, didn't shoot well, ended it with an injury. And he's proven last year wasn't a fluke. So he's a keeper. At $4 million a year, he's as reliable as they come on the court on what you can expect. And he's going to give you something. So whether it's a three, a steal, he gives you something every night.
I was watching the game, and to hear Joel Myers talk about it, and I was going to bring it up to you. He's not a great scorer. Javonte Green, what he does for you on the defensive side of the ball, and he was money last night for you. He came up with some big stops and everything, but a lot of times he's got to do the grunt work, Javonte Green. He made it work last night against the Bulls.
Yeah, he was brought over to New Orleans. They signed him for one specific reason. They knew they had lost Dyson Daniels, Najee Marshall, so they needed another bulldog with that kind of mentality, defense first, that can honestly give you, like, legitimate steals, cause disruptions, get you out on the fast break and finish. And they went out and got him. But unfortunately, because the Pelicans season went so bad, so poorly in that first, you know, third, you miss those type of things happening on the court, right? Usually these role players, especially defensive hounds, they don't show up unless your team's winning, right? So that's why I think it's taken some time for him to honestly, you know, kind of basically set his mark, so to speak, with his team and especially the fan base. But you're right. When you see the team can compete and you're playing, you know, every possession matters, a guy like Javonte, yeah, he shines. I think he's honestly maybe even a better defender than Najee, just because his hands are quicker. He has these great instincts on when to disrupt the ball, get into a passing lane, or even come up with like a high-flying block, right? So it's similar to, also, honestly, Mike, you got to think back to when Josh Hart was here. It's amazing what a guy like that can do, like I said, when your team's winning. But when the Pelicans were losing in Josh Hart's final year here, nobody really talked about him, right? But when they started winning, all of a sudden, everything he was doing on court mattered, and everybody noticed. Same thing with Javonte now, like last night.
Ollie, looking at Trey Murphy and the jump that he's made in year four, it's been so exciting to see. That's what Mike and I kind of led off the show with when we were talking about the positives of this team. Mm-hmm. The Pelicans extended Trey, you know, well, he's one of them. Eve has also been great. But Trey and the leap that he's made in year four, right now averaging 21.5 points per game, 4.5 rebounds, 2.8 assists per game this year. But in the new year, and the Pelicans have won, kind of quietly won four of the last seven games since, you know, the calendar turned to 2025. And in January so far, in five games that Trey has played, averaging 27 points per game, back-to-back 30-point performances, 30 at Boston and then 32 last night at Chicago. And, you know, my kind of point in asking you about Trey is that the leap that he's made was what the Pelicans were exactly hoping he would do in year four in New Orleans. And it's also made Brandon Ingram, I think, expendable. I think that you can move on from him at the trade deadline and still feel good about the future at the wing position because you have that core piece in Trey Murphy.
Yeah, just a couple of months ago, it was still a question mark, right? Could Trey fill the shoes of a starting scoring forward, specifically Brandon Ingram? And we weren't sure, right? I mean, he had shown plenty of glimpses. He could knock down a three ball. But seemingly, whenever an opponent put their best defender or just hounded him, right, made sure that he wasn't given any airspace beyond the three-point line, Well, Trey was largely invisible in those games, right? It was even at the beginning of this year where he was ending up with just 8-9 shot attempts in, say, about 30, 35 minutes of play. And there we were asking Willie, how do you get Trey going? How do you keep him involved? And Willie Green kept on telling us, well, yeah, we can do a better job. Everybody can do a better job. But Trey's also got to take it upon himself to be more aggressive, to be more rounded, right? To basically understand that where your shots are going to be able to come from. And now he's doing that. He's being aggressive, putting the ball on the floor. And that's all credit to him, right? That's all the offseason work he's done last few summers. And now it's paying off to where you saw it last night, 32 points. But I think he only made, what, 2 3-pointers, but got to the free throw line 12 times, made all 12. I honestly think, Charlie, what we're seeing is kind of an all-star jump. I think legitimately Trey Murphy's going to be considered for a future all-star game if he keeps this level up, because he's been phenomenal.
Yeah, I agree 1,000%, Ali. And then looking ahead at the schedule, obviously tonight against Dallas, Mike, you mentioned no Zion Williamson tonight, no Brandon Ingram, no Herb Jones. However, the Mavericks are going to be without some key pieces as well. No Luka Doncic, no Derek Lively. And then I think they have Kyrie Irving listed as doubtful. It's probably not going to be playing tonight. A lot of pieces missing. This could be a game for Trey and the boys to kind of pop off and pick up another win.
Both teams are short-sheeted.
Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah, and look, Dallas is coming in to where they haven't had Luka for a while, and they finally got Kyrie back last night, but it didn't matter. Denver killed them. And so, yeah, Mavericks have been floundering. I want to say they've lost like 4 of the last 5, something along those lines, right? They've been losing a lot more games than winning ever since Luka's gone down. So this is a very much a winnable game, and I don't think they'll have Derek Lively either. So suddenly you're talking about three, probably maybe their three best starters when you think about impact all over the court. That's kind of where the Pelicans were, right, for a couple of months. So this is a team that should, you know, you should take advantage of when they're that shorthanded. And I think the Pelicans have enough firepower, even without Zion, right? DeJounte's been playing better. CJ's as steady as they come. And we just talked about Trey and Jose.
And then looking a little bit ahead, you have back-to-back home games against Utah as well. Ali, we've talked about this before with you, about the Pelicans' struggles with Utah, but Utah isn't a very good team either.
No, they're not.
I mean, we were looking at this January slate, and it was like, okay, there's some winnable games here. If the Pelicans start picking up some momentum, we'll see what can happen. But your thoughts on the Utah Jazz?
Yeah, it's one of those head-scratchers, right? Just like it was for the last few years with Orlando, Chicago before, you know, they took another step, especially Orlando. Pelicans were losing to teams that were mediocre, and Utah was one of them for the last, you know, 3-4 years. I don't know what it is, but every time they play the Pelicans, something goes awry, whether a Pelican gets injured in the game or simply Utah's kind of hot, right? So the Pelicans should be able to beat this team. Utah's now been floundering for a while. We're past that initial stage where every team first, what, 4 weeks of the season thinks they can win. You're kind of hyped because it's a new season. Well, Utah's now, you know, halfway through their season, losing a lot more games. And unlike the Pelicans, they don't have guys returning, like stars returning from injury. That's going to uplift all the spirits. So this should be a game they win, because Lauri Markkanen, he's not playing as advertised. People are now talking about, this guy's not even playing at an all-star level. Did he get paid too much now by the Jazz? So when you've got that talk going around, you know that that team's not coming in at their best. So that's another game. You're right. Pelicans should be able to take advantage of.
Ali, thanks so much for joining us always, and enjoy your insights, and you have a super job. Thank you so much for joining us this afternoon.
Thanks, Ali.
Absolutely, anytime, guys. And have a good rest of your night.
Thanks so much. Ali Cosell does a great job covering the NBA and the New Orleans Pelicans, and you can hear that game against the Mavs tonight. 6:30 will be pregame. Tip off at 7 o'clock right here on the Big 870 WWL. We'll be back to finish up here, hour number one on the Big 870. Right after this message. I want to thank Kelsey Nicole Nelson and also Ali Cosell for joining us in hour number one. And number two in the 5 o'clock hour, Brad Evans from Sports BetQL Insider. BetMGM will be on with us to talk playoff games and also national championship game. We'll be back with more sports talk here on the Big 870 right after this news break.